15 years. And so in China, we had an amazing community. We had an amazing church that really supported us in tremendous ways. Both of us became Christians there. And there were so many people who spent so much time and so much energy simply investing in us and treating us like little children who have just come to faith and really helping us build those kind of foundations to really stand on our own as a Christian. Then we had so much support when it came to marriage, when we got engaged to each other, or when we, even before that, when we considered getting married to each other, then we got engaged. There were so many people who really invested in us and helped us build foundations for our future marriage life. Then the total crazy season, kids. Once our first child came around, everything just got completely messy again. And there were so many families who helped us, who invested in us, spent time with us, taught us things that they do and those kind of things. And also people who simply helped us practically, like bringing food over so that we didn't have to cook ourselves and those kind of things. It was really amazing to have all these people. And then, of course, just going through struggles. 12 years. For me, you go through a lot of ups and downs. You have some high points and you have some really low points living in a foreign country and all these things. And there were so many amazing people who helped us in those kind of seasons and simply supported us. Now looking back, kind of reflecting a little bit on our Shanghai time, without our community, we wouldn't have made it. We would have gotten beaten up and either left the country prematurely or something like this and missed out on so many fantastic things that happened there over the 12 years. Or who knows what could have happened in a foreign country when it seems like life is completely out of control. That was our life in China. And then coming here, we kind of had a bit of a rough landing because we realized the community is gone. Or rather, we are gone. The community is still there, but we are not there anymore. And so suddenly we realized there was a lot of stuff that we took for granted before that was missing. And we still have support from them, and we still get a lot of messages over the last few days and people praying for this first service that we're having today and all these things. But it's just different because we cannot really talk face to face. We do not really spend time with each other and all these things. And suddenly we realize how valuable that community in Shanghai actually was. Now looking back, we really wish we would have appreciated it more while we had it. Without their support, we wouldn't have made it this far, and we see the difference now that we are here. That's our personal experience. That's what we went through over the last 12 years and then this 1 year here in Munich. But, of course, it's not so much about what we think. It's really what our experience is really completely in line with what the Bible says about community as well. And that's what I want to take us through today. So just to be clear, of course, you can find community anywhere. You don't have to come to a church to find community. You can find friends anywhere. At your universities, you can find friends at your workplace, all these things. But that kind of community is never stable. Because that kind of a community, people change all the time. You change your workplace, or maybe your colleagues switch, and suddenly everything is different. Or maybe your university, you graduate, and suddenly the community is gone, all these things. And suddenly, we are at that point where we need new community, when we realize I need to find someone else. Now, that is partly true for the Christian community as well, but I think there's one major difference. And that is, at the core, the community doesn't change. Because at the core of the community is a person that doesn't change. And that is Jesus. And so I see myself today as part of a community that has not changed for the last 2,000 years. Since Jesus was on this earth. And I think that's a major difference between Christian community and any other kind of community that we might look for or that we might find. So, one more thing before I get into it. The Bible hardly uses the word community. You won't find that word. If you do a Google search on community, chances are very high that you get zero matches. But the Bible does use some other terms that basically say the same thing. For example, the Bible uses the term love. How can you love unless you live in community? It's good to love yourself, but that's not what the Bible means with love. The Bible talks about loving one another. The Bible talks about unity. How can you be in unity if you're alone? It's impossible. You need one another. Which brings me to the next term, one another. The Bible so often uses this term, one another. Love one another, greet one another, receive one another, correct one another, all these things. All these one another speak of living in community. And then, of course, the final term that the Bible uses very often is the term fellowship. And fellowship is basically just another word for what I use today as the word community. So just wanted to clear that up. If you go home tonight and do a Google search on the word community, you won't find it, but we find a lot of other terms that basically describe the same thing. So let's look at a few concrete verses of what Jesus and what the Bible actually says about this topic. John 13:14. Jesus speaking, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Now, when I picked this verse as the very first one, I was like, oops. What will some people think when they read about washing each other's feet? They will be like, if you're not a Christian, you might be like, this is weird. And are there any other body parts that I need to wash? Or do I really want this? Or what's going on here? So let me explain this. This is not so much about physically washing each other's feet. This is about serving each other. This is about being there for each other. This is about helping each other in time of need. That's what this verse is talking about. And Christians do that naturally, not because we have to, but because we want to. If we are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, that's one of the first things that happened in my life. At the beginning, I was a Christian in my head. I kind of believed in my head only that Jesus is God, which is an important step. But I never really experienced God's love. That happened a few months later. And once I experienced how much God loves me, I changed. And once I experienced that, suddenly, I loved people. And I was there for other people. And I wanted to be there for other people. Not because I had to, not because I read Bible verses and they told me, you got to serve one another. That's not what happened. I simply wanted to. I simply love people because Jesus loves me. And one expression of that love is serving one another. And that's the symbol behind this term that Jesus is using here of washing each other's feet. At another occasion, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Jesus takes it one step further. He is saying, when we have a healthy community that loves each other, the community will naturally grow. It's not a question of if. He's saying people will see. If you have love for one another, other people will see it. And they will want to join the community as well. And this way, many other people can hear about Jesus too. When we have a healthy community, that's much more important. Nothing wrong with doing street evangelism and evangelistic rallies and preaching and all these things. That's all good. But there is a much better tool to evangelize. And that is a genuine, loving community. That's what Jesus means here. A couple of chapters later, Jesus says something along the same lines. "This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. From now on, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Love is the key to the Christian community. That was what Jesus said. Now let's look at the book of Acts. What did they do? How did they implement what Jesus said? Well, let's look at this about the apostles. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." They were with one accord. What does that mean, with one accord? They had community. They shared life with each other. And they prayed together. I think praying together, people sometimes limit praying together as two people being in the same room and praying at the same time. But I think there's a much more effective way to really praying together. And that is praying in agreement, praying in harmony with each other, really praying the same thing, because there's a unity, because there's a mutual understanding, there's a common goal, and that way you can truly pray together. It's not so much about, okay, please pray for me that blah, 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 nothing wrong with that, but it's a total different thing. If we are really in unity with each other, if we have real community, real love for one another, and then we can truly pray with one another, we can truly pray in unity with one another. And I believe that's exactly what the apostles did here when it says they pray together in one accord. Another verse from the book of Acts. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their food with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Again, we read about them being in one accord, and what was the result of it? The community grew. A loving community will naturally grow. But of course, a loving community can only exist if we have the love of Jesus inside of us. What else did they do? And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Again, they were united. Neither said any of them that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They shared their resources. Every single one of us has abundance in one area, and we have a need in another area. All of us. Some people have financial riches. Some people have financial needs. Some people need a lot of support. Other people maybe have some time that they can use to support one another. None of us has everything. None of us has it all together. We all have plenty in one area, and we have need in another area. And when we share our resources with one another, it's amazing what we can do together. Think about the disciples in the book of Acts. They started out with 120. After a few months, they were tens of thousands. How did that happen? Of course, a big part of that and major part of that was God miraculously adding people to them. But I believe one of the keys was they shared their resources. Nobody was like, this is mine, don't touch me. Don't touch it. I'm going to focus on this. They shared everything. And by sharing their resources, they were able to do a tremendous work as a group in unity and in harmony. And I believe we don't have to take it to this extreme, like in the book of Acts, that we have to share everything. But I think a key to a healthy community is that we share our resources. When we have plenty, we share it with others. And when we have need, we let others know so that they can meet our need. And of course, the ultimate goal, where we all want to go eventually, is heaven. But what is heaven all about? I believe it's community. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. The great multitude, which is uncountable, what do? They praise God in unity. They live together. They share everything. They are the perfect community. And our life here as part of the church today is to grow into that community that one day we will be. Now let me take this one step further. I believe that really living in community is evidence of faith. Jesus once said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. When we live in community, it's really evidence of faith. The way I see it is, if we are united, if we seek out community, that means that we are truly Christians. If someone calls himself a Christian, but maybe does not live in community, I personally would have some question marks whether that confession of faith is genuine. We know from the Bible that many people call themselves Christians, but actually they are not, and they will have a bad surprise on Judgment Day. And I'm wondering if many of those are the kind of people who call themselves Christians, but don't live in community. I don't have scriptural evidence of that, but if I look at everything that I see around me, I think there's a correlation. True Christians live in community. There's no question about that. A verse that goes around the same lines is this. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. I find it interesting that in this verse in the book of Hebrews, there seems to be a connection between community and sin. Because he is basically saying that some people, they do not see community, they do not live together with other Christians, there is no connection with the church, really. And then a verse later he's talking about sin and about the consequence of sin. And when I look at many people that I met in Shanghai who call themselves Christians but did not see community, very often the reason was that they had a secret life. Very often the reason that they did not see community... All right. Very often the reason why people did not see community was simply this. They didn't want anyone to tell them that what they were doing in an area of their life is wrong. Most of the time they had a secret life, and the reason they stayed away from the church was because they knew the Bible says I shouldn't do this, God tells me I shouldn't do this, and if I join that community, they will also tell me that I shouldn't do that. And that's an indication of rebellion, that's an indication of someone who has an idol and who might actually want to be a Christian, but isn't really willing to give up what it takes to live for Christ. There's a connection between those two things. Another verse that says the same thing, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, it's talking about evidence of faith. If we are truly Christians, we will seek out community. We will want to share life with other Christians. So in summary, community really strengthens our faith. It's in the community, when we read Bible together, worship together, all these things, that our faith grows. Community draws others into the community as well. The best way for evangelism is to have a loving community. Community is a foretaste of heaven, because one day we will be perfectly united in heaven. And then lastly, living in Christian community is really evidence of faith. So, what does that mean? What exactly do I mean with community? Some people then think like, okay, so let's all hold hands together and sing a song together. Is that community? Obviously not. We already read these two verses. The word that is used here is the word fellowship. And the word fellowship, the Greek word behind it, is koinonia. Koinonia, defined by the Strong Dictionary, basically what it means is partnership. That is what Christian community is all about. We are not just there for the sake of being together. We are having a common purpose. We are having a common goal. We are partnering together for something we all want to achieve together. Obviously, what is that? That's God's purpose. And what's God's purpose for our lives? To bring him glory. That's what our life is all about. That's why he created you. That's why he created me. He wants all of us to bring him glory. That's why he created this world, and that's why he set up everything. That's what the Christian community is supposed to do, and that should be our ultimate goal. Together, bringing glory to God in a way that we cannot do it as individuals. Okay, so let's look at some practical aspects. What do we do in the Christian community? Well, first of all, we praise God together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we are doing today. And that's what we are doing in our Friday group. That's what we want to do here at Aletheia all the time. we want to praise God together. That's why we come together in this kind of setting. Secondly, we support each other in our time of need. But to do good and to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I already mentioned this. All of us have needs. All of us have plenty in one area. All of us have needs in another area. And when we share our resources, we can do tremendously more than we could as individuals. I've seen both. I've been in situations in Shanghai when we were in real need, and it's just so amazing when then people come to us. Totally out of the blue. It's not that we go around and we tell people, hey, we need this, we need that. We simply prayed. And then suddenly people approach us. Maybe we were in a financial situation that was very difficult. And suddenly someone totally out of the blue gave us financial gifts. Those kind of things. Or maybe we really needed help, we really needed some support. And suddenly someone wrote us an email or gave us a phone call or approached us on a Sunday and simply told us, hey, I felt God is telling me to, you need some help. How can I help you? These kind of things. It's amazing to receive that kind of support. And it's also amazing to give that support to others. One of the most joyful moments that I ever had in Shanghai was when there was a young student. Her mother was sick and they were in all kinds of difficulties. And so she wasn't able to pay her rent for the following month. And she was really worried about it. And it wasn't a problem for us. We knew her personally. We knew that she's trustworthy. And so we simply said, okay, we'll just give this to you as a gift. She only wanted a loan. But then after talking with her a little bit and seeing how desperate her situation was, I was like, okay, just keep it. And just seeing that joy on her face, just seeing that relief on her face, and seeing how happy she was afterwards, that's a moment I will never forget. Receiving the kind of support from the community is tremendously joyful. And seeing a need in the community and supplying whatever that person needs can be equally joyful. Both is amazing. And that's what we do in the Christian community. And then, of course, we teach each other and we learn from each other. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We need each other when we want to read the Bible, don't we? We can read the Bible by ourselves, and that's important. Others cannot read it for us. But if you really want to know who God is, we simply need one another. We have so many questions, and we have so many challenges. And so Bible study groups are just the key to really understanding who God is and what he wants. I personally love reading the Bible with new Christians or with someone who is not yet a Christian because they have a total new perspective on things, and they often bombard me with questions that I never thought about before. And I love that because it challenges me to think out of the box and think about things I've never thought before. I love that. And I also love reading the Bible with people who are more experienced, people who have more knowledge, people who maybe studied a bit more, or people who are specialized on a certain topic. And I love reading the Bible with those kind of people because that gives me new knowledge and new resources that I didn't have before. That's what the community is all about. We learn together. We learn from each other. And then, of course, we also correct each other. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, this is Jesus speaking, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen man and a tax collector. Let's be honest. All of us want to do what is right, don't we? I do. I want to do what is right, and I hate when I do something that is wrong. The problem is I have blind spots. I don't see myself, and I don't always see the effects of what I'm doing, and I need other people around me who see me more clearly, who see me more objectively, and who can tell me, you know, this isn't right. I think you're crossing a line there. I think what you're doing there is not biblical. I think you should improve in this area. I hate that moment. Ask my wife. I hate that moment of being corrected. But I love the fruit that comes from it long term. Because I don't want to be slowed down, or I don't want to be affected by all my weaknesses long term. I want to get rid of all that stuff. And I want to be able to be a better person. I can't do it by myself. I need my brothers, I need my sisters, I need people that I can trust and who can lovingly tell me, you know, I think that wasn't right. I think you should change in this area of your life. Correcting others is really an expression of love. I needed a few years to understand that because of my wounds with my parents and those kind of things, because I didn't feel loved when I was corrected by my parents. But really, if we have the courage to correct one another, it's an expression of love. I love my children. That's why I correct them. That's why I train them. Because what I want them to do 20 years from now is have a good life and not deal with all kinds of questions. Should I do this? Should I do that? I want to train them now so that they can have a good and a free life, so that they have learned what I can teach them and they can then establish that in their lives. That's my goal. Disciplining is really an expression of love. And so when we discipline, when we correct one another, it's an expression of love. When God corrects us, it's an expression of love. That's what the Christian community is all about. As one person put it, God loves us so much that he accepts us unconditionally, but God also loves us so much that he doesn't allow us to stay the way we are. And that's why in this community, we want to correct one another. And deep down, if we are honest, I think all of us want that kind of correction as well. And then we work together. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. This is an analogy that the New Testament is using over and over again. We are different. We like different body parts. We like a hand, and we like a head, we like a foot, and all these things. But when we work together, then we can really achieve a lot. We have 2 eyes. We don't need 10 eyes. That would be very confusing. We don't need 5 hands. But if we were to replace a hand with a 3rd eye, that would not be helpful. But we, as one body, we are so different and so diverse. And when we all find our role within the body, when we all find our role and one person says, I'm great at leading worship. I'm not. But Miley and Nadia, they are. If one person says, I'm good at admin. If another person says, I'm really good at hospitality. And we really use these kind of gifts together and use everybody in the way that he or she is gifted, then we can do amazing things together. Everybody is important. Everybody has gifts. Everybody can contribute. And everybody can do something for the body of Christ. But we can't do that unless we live in community, unless we share life with one another for a common purpose. And then, of course, we need to protect each other. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Let's face it. This world just tells us lies all the time. I mean, what law was passed on Friday? same-sex marriage. It's wrong. Jesus spoke so clearly about it. The Old Testament spoke so clearly about it. But what is happening in this world today is just telling us lies over and over and over again, telling us that things are true, which simply are not. Now, how can we discern the lies that we hear in the world from the truth? We can only do that if we correct one another. We can only do that if we read the Bible together, if we talk about things, discuss things. We cannot do this by ourselves. We need the community. We need one another. And we need to protect one another from the crazy stuff that we see out there happening all the time. These are some of the things we do in the Christian community. Of course, there are many other aspects to the community as well, but these are the most important ones. But ultimately, we always need to remember it's not about us. It's not about us feeling good in the community. But what the community is all about is God's glory. That's why we come together. A couple of more nice effects that the Bible says about community. First of all, it speaks of the presence of Jesus. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Most of the time, to really experience God's presence, to experience his love, to experience his power, all these things. For me personally, most of the time it happens in this kind of setting. Sometimes it happens when I'm alone with God, but most of the time it happens when I come together with other Christians. The presence of God is really strong in community, and it's definitely, on average, stronger than when we are simply by ourselves. Jesus' presence, and then lastly, healing. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We all need healing, don't we? Some of us need physical healing. Some of us have physical conditions. Some of us need relational healing. Maybe parent relationship. Maybe broken relationships from the past, romantic relationships, all these things that we were not able to overcome yet. Some people had bad childhood experiences, and they really try to run away from those experiences the rest of their lives. I was there for many years of my life. Some people had traumatic experiences that haunt them and that they need healing from. Some people have bad habits, addictions, all those things that cause us harm or to other people. Let's face it, all of us need healing. And what this verse is saying, if you want to find healing, you need community. You need to have the courage to a small group of people to simply tell them, this is what I'm struggling with. This is who I am deep down. Allow others to pray for us. And then when we do, we will receive the healing that we are asking for. So far, the importance of community. So far, what is really wonderful about the Christian community. But it wouldn't be fair to stop there, because we have to consider one thing. The church, Christian community, is made up of imperfect people. The Christian community, wonderful as it is, it's not perfect. We will try to rely on people. We have difficulties. They will let us down. They will disappoint us. They will ridicule us. They might even share things that we thought were confidential, and suddenly things about us spread and those kind of things. Some people do that intentionally, thankfully very few, but all of us are weak. All of us make mistakes. And sometimes we do not get the kind of support from the community that we were hoping we would get. So I have to be honest, it takes effort. We don't just decide today, I live in community, and then the next day we have community. We need to invest time, we need to invest energy, we need to find the right people, all these things. It takes a lot of effort to come into community, to build community, all these things. And sometimes we will be disappointed. Sometimes we will be frustrated with the very people that we are in community with. That's life, that's reality. But I can also say it's worth it. Community in this life is important. And I shared with you the experience that we had, especially over the last year, the struggles that we had. But much more important is eternity. Because the Bible is very clear, without community in this life, we cannot reach heaven. And so that's why I am a firm believer in community, And that's why I'm a firm believer that every true Christian really needs to seek out community. So as you have probably realized by now, I strongly believe in that. I strongly believe in the importance of Christian community because of what the Bible says and because of our personal experience over the last 12 months. And that's why this church here, this new church that we are starting, will put a strong emphasis on community. What we want here is that everybody becomes part of the community, and everybody who wants to be in this church will experience sometimes the bad sides, sometimes the struggles in community, but more than that, that people, while they're here in Munich, whether that is for 6 months, a year, or for the next 20 years, whatever, people, as long as they're here, will experience true Christian community, and they will grow in their faith because of this community. So I want to encourage everyone today, if you call yourself a Christian and you are not yet in community, then really consider being part of one. It doesn't have to be us. If you feel more comfortable in a German-speaking church or feel more comfortable, maybe you don't like me or whatever, it doesn't have to be this particular church. But if you call yourself a Christian today and you're not in community, I really want to encourage you. I really want to challenge you. Find it. Put the necessary effort in it. Go somewhere. Try out a church or come back here next time we meet or just join a small group. But really find the kind of community where you can truly share life with. Because without that kind of community, we simply cannot make it long term. And if you're here today, some of you have been part of the Explorer group, and this is kind of the unofficial end of that group. If you're not sure yet who Jesus is, if you're not sure yet whether Jesus is God and what to believe in all these things, I want to encourage you, don't stop here. It's such an important question, like I shared with you many, many times over the last few weeks. I believe everybody needs to come to his or her own conclusion. Jesus claimed that he will decide whether he takes us to heaven or he sends us to hell. And I think every single person needs to come, take some time, and come to an honest conclusion. This is what I believe about the claims of Jesus, and this is why. And I can live with it. I think it's just too important a question to ignore. And so if you're here today and you're still not sure about who Jesus is and whether he is God and all these things, I want to encourage you guys, don't stop here. Just because the group stops and be like, okay, let's forget about it. Continue the journey until one day you come to a conclusion. And until one day you come to that point where you can say, this is what I believe about Jesus, and this is why. It's just too important a question to ignore. Stay in the community. Continue asking questions. Continue challenging Christians and all these things that we've been doing over the last few months, and then come to your own conclusion. Last thought I want to say before I close, just attending a church service doesn't automatically mean living in community. Sometimes people think something like, well, I am part of the community because every Sunday, these 2 hours, very faithfully, I go to church. Well, the church can be the place where there is the least community. Because it's extremely superficial. Very often we are rushing in, we are rushing out. Sometimes we don't talk to anybody. Sometimes we do a bit of small talk with people. But that's not community. That's not sharing life with each other. We need something else. We need something more than that. So simply coming on a Sunday to a church is simply not enough. We need a small group of people. We need some other Christians that we can truly share life with, who know us well, and we know them well, and we can truly share life together. We need to get to know people, and we need people to get to know us, and not simply being in the same room at the same time on Sundays. So in conclusion, Jesus calls all of us in community. He wants every single person, no matter where you are at right now in your faith journey, he wants every single person to join his community, and he wants every one of us to draw near to him by drawing near to one another and to grow in our faith by sharing life with one another. So that then leads me to my closing question. Will you respond to his call today? Will you let him? If Jesus is calling out your name and wants to draw closer to you, will you do your part? That's a question that, of course, all of us have to decide for ourselves. I have made the decision for myself, but I cannot make that decision for anybody else. Each and every person needs to decide whether he or she wants to respond. And so that's the question I want to leave with you today. I want to ask Miley and Nadia to come back for worship while we close in prayer. Father, thank you for your community. Thank you for loving us so much. And thank you for giving us love for one another. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us today. And thank you for speaking to us. Lord, we pray that you will help us. You will give us the courage to respond. There might be things in our lives right now that hold us back. There might be fears, there might be doubts, there might be confusion. Why we don't want to live in community, why we are afraid of sharing life with one another. But Lord, we pray that today is a day when you overcome all that and when you simply show us how wonderful and how beautiful it is to be part of your community. So Lord, we pray, speak to us even now and show us how you want us to personally respond to what we have heard.